Welcome back to FYC.
For your child self.
I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Victoria. And this is the podcast where we convince you to watch animated movies that you probably wouldn't have because you thought they were for kids. Womp womp, you're wrong, they're not.
And this week, we are discussing the best Adam Sandler movie, animated movie, since Hotel Transylvania. And honestly, one of the best Adam Sandler movies, period.
Honestly, it's my second favorite, only to Spanglish.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one too.
But yeah, totally different genre. I like this one when they're like Transylvania, I'm not gonna lie.
And by this, we mean Leo! Victoria, what was your cartoon moment of the week?
Okay, my cartoon moment of the week is very on brand for this movie because, so I have a tortoise and her name is Nina, and Nina might be a boy, but it's okay. Their name is Nina. And I was just redoing her whole tank and it was just like cute, and it put some moss in there and like rehydrated all the mulchy bits. Aww. And she was just having a good time. That was just very on brand with the movie.
A nice home, comfy and cozy.
Yeah.
My cartoon moment of the week, which is also on theme, is not actually from this week, but from a week several decades ago.
No. The cartoon moment was that you remembered this week.
Yeah. which was just this like horror story with the classroom pets that we had.
Oh no.
I think it was like, I want to say it was like either third or fifth grade, because it was like that same teacher, but it's actually funny because she also got pregnant.
Oh.
The year that we had these class pets, and I had her for third and fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And she, like, we had to have a substitute teacher both those years because she was pregnant both those years that we had her.
I want to say that she didn't like y'all.
Actually, she loved us. She must have hated us. She timed her conceptions for like our class.
She was like, wow, I had so much fun the first time where I didn't teach these kids. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. but we had, these gerbils, and let's just say things did not end well. There was one, honestly, we should have been taking them home for the weekend, because there was one weekend where we were out and we came back and it was not pretty. Mm. I won't go into it further, please. Because it's FYC for your child self, not to traumatize her child self.
Yeah, she's traumatized enough. Let's leave her be.
Yeah, let's heal with this episode. Leo, which was obviously like Adam Sandler is all over this. It stars him. It's partially written by him along with two of his other like collaborators, Robert Smigel and Paul Sato.
Even all of the marketing material was Adam Sandler as Leo.
Yeah.
Leo. Watch Leo because it's Adam Sandler.
And then it was co-directed by animator Robert Marionetti, David Wachtenheim, who both used to work on SNL, actually, in the animation department. Amazing. And then Robert Smigel, again, who actually, he also co-wrote the first two Hotel Transylvania movies.
Oh, okay.
So this was like another like animated collab. And then obviously Adam Sandler produced with Murray Soria under Happy Madison, which, fun fact for y'all, I don't know who's watched this. It's like the second animated movie from like Happy Madison.
Oh,
like,
really?
The name, since Adam Sandler's Hanukkah movie, Eight Crazy Nights. Have you seen that ever?
I
feel like we need to do it like a holiday-themed episode.
Oh my God, we totally should do like a holiday little season.
Yeah, the movie out of pocket. Very different from Leo.
I think I watched, I watched that on TikTok Live.
Really?
Yeah, last in December.
Oh my God, how was that experience?
It was as chaotic as you want it to be.
Perfect. That's the best way to watch it.
Yeah.
And then you can watch Leo right now on Netflix if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it and come back and listen to the rest of the podcast, because there will be spoilers.
If you haven't seen it, you have to either be prepared to assume the risk of being spoiled or just listen to this on mute.
Give us a play. Just mute the whole rest of it. Yeah, give us a play.
Mute this while you play Leo. It's like 80 minutes long. Okay, well, again, this movie is about a classroom pet, specifically a Tuatara named Leo, who realizes he may be approaching the end of his life without having necessarily explored the world or lived the life he, quote unquote, wanted to. He essentially plans to escape when the students start taking him home for the weekends, but when he accidentally reveals to them that he can talk, it kind of turns out that Leo has a little bit more wisdom to share with them than he maybe thought he did, than they maybe thought he did. You'll see.
Yeah. And then you have his co-star, Bill Burr, who plays fellow classroom pet, a turtle named Squirtle. And Cecily Strong as Miss Malkin, who is the substitute teacher. See, it's relevant. Who comes in when the fifth grade class's regular teacher leaves for the year.
For maternity leave.
Yeah,
By the way, she showed up for parent teacher night and was like, "It's so nice to meet you. Goodbye." But yeah, what were your initial thoughts, Ali?
I absolutely adored this movie. Aww. I'm like Adam Sandler, like, is a very particular, like, I feel like taste.
Interesting. Okay.
And flavor. And like, for some reason, like, the flavors just blended right in this movie. I thought it was really cute. I thought it was more wholesome than I expected it to be. And just like, really sweet movie. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I see what you mean by, like, Adam Sandler is definitely a genre of movie. I was
auteur.
He's an auteur himself. I was really looking forward to watching this movie, so I, like, got a little takeout and I sat down and, like, I made an event of it. I had no idea it was a musical.
Oh yeah, stealth musical. What?
Yeah.
Like, literally not even like a minute into the movie, a child just bursts into song.
Why, literally. So I think when that first initial thing happened, I was like, I don't think this movie is for me. About 5 minutes later, I was like, nope, this movie is definitely for me. I'm having such a blast. The stealth musical of it all didn't. Here's my thing. I prefer when I like a musical, so I prefer being told that it is a musical.
I feel you. I feel like that's been like a huge discussion lately.
Yeah.
It's just like why all these movies have been all these like movie musicals are marketed as like just straight movies.
Yeah.
And like the musical aspect never gets hyped. I mean, it happened recently with Mean Girls.
Yeah. Wonka.
I would argue Bob Marley, One Love, is a self-musical. Oh.
You're not the first person to say that to me, actually. So yeah, let's put that one on there too.
Yeah. I just find it very funny that like marketing like has just been, you know, trying to do everything to obscure the fact that it's a musical to trick people into watching it.
Yeah.
Though there's so many musical lovers that I'm sure would like jump at the chance. Though I will say I was, when I first started hearing the singing in this particular movie, I was like, oh God, what's happening?
Yeah.
But then I grew to love it. So you know what? It was worth it.
I think that's the general consensus on it too, is everyone that watched this movie was like, oh, this movie's fine. I'm going to like it. And then they either loved it because of the musical, they loved it because of the message, or they loved it because of the reptilian of it all.
The reptilian, yes. Leo, my favorite reptile.
He's the cutest.
I'm going to be like fawning over him this entire episode. I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's like, obviously there's the classroom pets. So there's Leo and Squirtle.
Which they share a tank, which is weird, but it's very cute.
I think it was you gotta have a buddy bouncing.
They have little buddies.
Like a bouncing board. Is that what it's called? Sounding board.
Not is bounce, that what it is?
A sounding board to bounce ideas off.
Oh, I was gonna say bouncing sounded good to me.
We should call it a bouncing board, honestly, from now on.
Yeah.
But it was just like a fun dynamic between them. You really get Bill Burr's like sort of like humor and like
very
style.
Very senile.
There. You think Bill Burr's character is senile?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
No?
Granted, he was there in the 80s, so he was up there.
Well, when he's all like, what are you going to do? Leave? And Leo's like, yeah.
He just gave me, like, he seemed very just, like, cynical, practical, like.
Okay.
This sort of, like, you know, why do we need to change anything? We're having a great time.
And they were having a great time.
And actually, I kind of did, like, this little subplot between them. It's just, like, Squirtle's growing jealousy of, like, where's my best friend going? Right. Like, why are these stupid kids taking him away from me?
Well, I originally thought that it was going in a very different direction than it went, and I was very thankful that it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought that Leo was going to come back one day and Squirtle wasn't going to be in the box anymore.
I would have perished.
No, I know. And by the end of it, I was literally like crying tears of joy. Like, I was just like, every second I was like, this movie's been so weird so far. Like, there's going to be a twist. I don't know. Like, I can't. And I'm so glad that it didn't. There was a twist. really big freaking twist.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it wasn't a Squirtle related twist. And I like that their characters and like their friendship was just there throughout the whole thing, and at the end of the day was like the saving grace of it all was their friendship.
Yeah, though he could be a little bitch at times, Squirtle, I mean.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What about the kids? Angry man.
Kids,
I they were also like, I was dying over them. They're so funny, and like it's so specific too. I was just like, did Adam Sandler just observe like all of his like kids, like classmates definitely. And stuff, and just like taking notes for like the past several years?
No, definitely. He, you know, like how there's that meme that like dads don't know their kids,
like teachers' names or their friends' names. Yeah, like anything.
That's the vibe it was giving. Like what do you mean you don't know Jada? She's been over 3 times a week every day for the last 13 years.
It's like she's the one with the blonde hair, right? It's like, no.
Yeah.
Though nowadays it's like there was that one Kimmel bit where it was like literally they were doing interviews on the street and like one guy did not know mm-hmm. the color of his child's eyes and she mm-hmm. was like standing right next mm-hmm. to him. And like another guy yeah. who just did not know any of Anything. His kids' birthdays. Yeah. Meanwhile, mom was just like, oh, and this is the doctor's name and that's her best friend's name and that's the teacher's yeah. name. And it's like, man, y'all got to step up. But yeah. it seems Adam Sandler knew
yeah.
what was going on because yeah. you have...
He knew a little too much.
You have Sunny, the oldest child, who, because of her status as oldest child, does not know when to shut the fuck up. I can relate as an oldest child.
I was going to say, it's the opposite for me.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm the oldest child, but I'm like, I'm just going to let my sisters do their thing and mediate when I gotta.
No, I mean, well, when it comes to like sibling stuff, yes. And the rest of life in general.
Oh, I
hear you. It would have been nice to also get advice from an elderly lizard being like, hey, just ask a question every once in a while. It'll make your life a lot better.
Listen, Linda, listen.
Yeah. Literally, I need that GIF like emailed to me daily in my inbox. And then there's the kid who has the literal helicopter parent drone thing who I know
that
you love.
That was terrifying. Oh my God, I love that drone thing.
And like, I love how that whole relationship was like played like as like a breakup, like
yeah.
dramatic, awkward, like ex tension.
Ice cream, shoving ice cream in your face.
Yeah, and like your morning head in the relationship.
Freaking trash can, yeah.
The rich girl who was like has to be told she's actually not that special, like just he is your dad.
Yeah.
Owns like what does like
half of Fort Lauderdale? I don't know.
Like
Fort
because
Myers.
It's like you're not that special.
Her name is Jada, and it is. Yeah. So we have Sunny, Jada, Summer.
I said Summer. Sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
I did say Sunny before. No, to be fair, good. She is played by Sunny Sandler.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened. So yeah, we have Summer. We have Jada. We have Zane, Cole, Anthony, Eli, Mia, Logan. There's a lot of kids in this classroom.
And then you have like the fifth grade. So this is the fifth grade class. And then what I thought was so funny, and it reminded me so much of the bit from South Park, is.
Okay.
And also, what's it called? Oh, I was about to say, what's it called? How dare I? Recess.
Oh my gosh.
The kindergartners.
Yes, literally. Yeah.
Where it's just like these kindergartners are depicted as like depraved, underdeveloped, like
yeah.
crazy, wild, savage things.
Yeah, no, those kindergartners are literally savage. They're so, their character design is so funny. I was dying. I saw them and I was like, I want, there's this one part. I don't know if you caught, they were, what's his name? Logan? The bully.
Wait.
It's okay. There's this part where the bully tumbles
out,
where the bully tumbles out onto the floor. All the kindergartners turn, pee on him and then attack him.
Wait, when was this in the movie?
No, I'm going to have to, it's either pee or juice boxes. Oh, I'm not sure. It's such a quick second.
I feel like.
But that mental image.
I know it's
image,
an Adam Sandler movie, but I feel like that's got to be the juice boxes at work.
Yeah, no, yeah, it might be juice boxes.
That's so funny.
But
though,
it's like, I want that still, like literally printed on a 6 foot long panoramic canvas hanging in my living room.
I would pay like 10 grand for that.
Oh, really?
Or for like a duplicate.
Okay. I think I'd pay like $50 at Staples. But
but. Yeah, what I thought, it was like, obviously, so that like the kindergartners aren't there that often to begin with, but when they do show up, it's just like perfect, like great use of the kindergartners.
Yeah.
They're
very comedic relief, and it's really comically relieving.
And honestly, honestly, I did think that this movie was super funny, and like I know that Adam Sandler likes to do like some cheap laughs at the time, but I feel like honestly a lot of these jokes. Mm-hmm. And, like, the payoffs are, like, really well-deserved, mm-hmm. like, well-executed, like, visual gags.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, I hate saying, like, relatable humor, but it's, like, sort of, like, this those sorts of things that are, like, true to life.
Yeah.
Like,
no, moments. They're very hard-hitting jokes where it's, like, I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah.
Not I'm laughing because that rhymed. No, you're right. The jokes in this are, the jokes are very Adam Sandler, but also like have that like elevated double meaning that like a lot of animated movies do. So I was,
it's definitely something for the adults and the kids to laugh at.
Yeah. Even like, I think Hotel Transylvania doesn't even have like that like wit to it.
Yeah. I feel like it was, yeah. Like I feel you, like it's like Hotel Transylvania, granted, like I haven't watched much of the series, but it does feel like it's like mainly like it's for the kids for the most part, yeah. Though it does have its moments that it's like obviously like geared toward adults. But in this one, it's sort of like this is for like the kids, but also for the adult who's like witnessing their inner child.
Yeah.
Because like not only as like, oh, like, you know, seeing like Leo and like how much time has passed for him and like what knowledge he can offer now, but also for the kids, because it was just like even that opening song where they're like talking about like, oh my God, fifth grade, the last year of childhood. I was like, that is so precious. Yeah. But also they were talking about all the things that they were going to miss and like the last chances that they have to like, you know, Dippin' Dots and like chicken, star-shaped chicken nuggets and slides and parks. And I was like, you know what? Like, I feel that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, it's definitely like an inner child movie. So FYC that.
I know. It's like, it very much feels like kind of like the ultimate family movie, the ultimate like co-watching movie where like the kids are not just the center of the story, but the plot gets fixed often by the kids. So like we have the scary substitute teacher and like the
it's so funny because then at the end when she sort of gets exposed, I'm like, oh, you're not scary. You're just depressing. Pathetic. My God. Yeah.
Pathetic is my word of the week, by the way. But it's like the kids are having to fix their relationships with their families. The kids are having to fix whatever's happening in the classroom politics with Mrs. Malkin. The kids are having to fix what happens with Leo at the end of the day, too. And on top of that, like, they're still going to school. Like, I don't know. Like, the kids just really felt like superheroes to me in this movie.
Yeah.
So, like, I love,
like, they didn't have everything done for them. Like, exactly. They went and did it themselves. And like, they are the true heroes of this movie.
And on top of that, everyone around them is making life literally impossible for them.
Yeah. Like, this one is definitely, like, you were, like, saying, it's, like, a case of, like, adults being idiots and kids being the only smart ones.
And, like, even, and we'll get to this in a second for, my like, our favorite parts, but even at the birthday party, like, that scene where they were, like, doing all the things to let the animals free because they were like, dang, it sucks when adults put all these little animals in cages. We want them to be free. Like, I don't know.
Giving me hope for Gen Alpha.
Literally. It just felt like, it felt very kid-centric in a way that, like, also feeds the inner child, like you were saying, and not just, like, oh, it's a bunch of kids wreaking havoc.
Yeah, like, it was just, like, it's nice to see kids who are, like, actually well-meaning.
Yeah.
And
being kids too. Like
acting their age and just being cool.
But yeah, what was your favorite part? I kind of just told mine a little bit, but I'll dive into it in a second.
No, I mean, for me, it was, So like we were talking about one of the kids, mm-hmm. like Mia, who is like, aww. She's super smart and yeah. like scientifically driven. We love women in STEM. Yay. And she's like not only dealing with like divorced parents and yeah. like, you know, split custody going back and forth. But she also like, she has lost her grandpa. And mm-hmm. so then having like Leo, who like yeah. reminds her of him, like that really got to me. Like yeah. it was just like really sweet moment. And it's like you finally like sort of get to like the mushy tissue, and then all of a sudden he's like, she gets emotionally vulnerable and starts crying, and then he bursts into this hilarious song where he's like basically like,
oh god,
you want to sing it together? Don't cry, crying's for weaklings. Don't cry, it's lazy and dumb. And then it like keeps on going on and on about how crying's for like dumb people and it makes you look ugly. and yet it's like, again, like you would not like it, I didn't expect it to land as it did, but it was yeah. just like so perfectly delivered. And yet like one of those things where it's just like somehow like very like sincere. Like, I don't know. It's just like especially like her reaction at the end, how she takes it. She's like, thanks for making me feel better. Like, yeah. I'm like, I just love, like, you know, how comforting he doesn't even realize he is.
Yeah. Even when he's saying all the wrong things.
Yes.
He's exactly. doing all the right ones.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's listening. He's there. He's being funny.
Yeah.
It's comforting. Yeah, you're right.
It's just like classic Leo. It's like a little old man. Classic Leo. How about for you? Go into your favorite part.
Yeah. So I have two, and the second one was just like a snippet. But my favorite part is when they're at the – I just love a good – let's break them out scene, like, you know, like the Madagascar and the, I think they do it in yeah. the Proud Family too. Like these parts, these like plots where it's like a bunch of kids are getting together to break something out of jail. Yeah. yeah. A jailbreak. So I love that at the birthday party where they put like the jumpstart cables on some kid's brackets. They rub a potato on him. He like, shock it through and it releases all the magnetic gates, and then it's like cut to literally havoc at this birthday party. Adults are running everywhere, there's loose zebras, like it's insane. I love that part.
We love kids applying their learned skills for yeah. anarchy.
No, quite literally mutiny. And then the other part, I just think this is really funny, is when Leo is at the helicopter parents
yes, house. yes,
and he just a lot of shit happens to poor little Leo in this part, but he like
yeah
his that tongue gets stuck inside an air filter and he flies off and he lands on a
like a Roomba or something.
No, he lands on the table that has a Lego city on it.
That's right. Oh, so my god, that homage is so funny.
Literally cuts to him being Godzilla
yeah
and like stomping around, but then he steps on a Lego, and that is just such a funny moment. Those two are my favorite scenes.
Like 200 years from now, like archaeologists looking yeah. back at this movie, if should it still exist.
No, it will. I just I'm gonna burn it onto a DVD and dig it into the ground.
They're not gonna have any idea what that is referring to. But I'm glad that we know.
But oh, what does he say? Oh my Godzilla? No.
Oh, mother of Godzilla! but that's another thing. But actually, it was funny because the helicopter parents, I remember like yeah. listening to the mom and being like, oh my god, who is that? She sounds so familiar. And I found out it's Heidi Gardner from SNL. Lots of SNL yeah. Adam Sandler collaborators like at yeah. work here. I dig it. Like yeah. Cecily was in this too.
I like it too.
What
was the cutest part of this movie for you?
My god, Leo, really? Duh. Oh my god, it was just his expressions that always killed me. And I feel like I felt the same way about Ballister in Nimona.
Oh, that's
where
true.
I was like, oh my god, he's such a grumpy little meow meow. And in this case for Leo, it's just like he's a little grumpy old man.
Little grumpy. Or not meow, even meow. Grumpy.
Like he's not even grumpy. He's just like sad. He's just like
He was grumpy at first.
I just, for those listening and with a Netflix account, which I know with these price hikes is like, you know, look at this fat cat over here.
Yeah.
But go to like the 8th minute, 7th second of Leo, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's like when he gets like subtly burned by these parents talking shit about him and his age, and he goes from like smiling to like a little frown in an instant, and it's just like I felt sad, but it's like one of the funniest and cutest things that I've seen put the film like in the last year.
It is cute. He's very cute. The cutest part to me was actually the drone.
Oh my God, that drone was also hilarious. Yeah,
it was
just so cute.
I'm like, it was giving Wall-E, but like Wall-E in a different way.
Wall-E mixed with the HAL. Like, isn't that, what's the device? What? You know the Eva? Villain? No, the villain in the movie that's like HAL from 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Wait. Because the drone does have like its little evil side when it's like enemy detected.
But no, it's more like because like this design, purely like design wise, he reminded me of that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I need to find this name. Autopilot. Mm-hmm. Like this dude. For those who obviously can't see.
Oh my God. No, that's literally the drone.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, he looks so much like him, but with Wall-E's personality.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I really like the drone. I thought it was adorable considering it's a drone. And this is also the other thing is, you know those little robots that deliver food around here?
Oh my God. I feel so bad for them.
I don't. I hate them. So it's like, they didn't ask to be made.
The air just shifted here. What are your thoughts?
I didn't either. I didn't ask to be made.
We're getting really existential right now. But wait, what is your beef with them?
I hate them.
That's it?
Yeah, I just hate them. They're clunky. They take up space. I hate that people think they're cute and stop to take pictures with them. And it's like, it's disrupting.
They might be our overlords one day.
I'm just scared of them is actually what it is at the end of the day.
We hate the things that we fear.
I do. I very much hate things I fear. And so it's just weird that this is like very much a personality trait of mine is hating those little robots. But I'm over here like, oh my God, that drone was so cute.
So that's just fictional drones pathetic are of me. What we about, love inconsistency.
Now that you think that like, now after talking about Leo and like his character design and how adorable he is, like what do you think about the animation? Because it's very peculiar.
I mean, like it feels like just like the typical like sort of like CGI style that we've seen lately. Like it reminded me kind of Rambo, obviously without the motion capture. Style that they did for that one. But I actually just like, I don't know, I felt like very soothed by it. Like it didn't really stand out to me, but I also just like, I didn't have any gripes about it. I thought it was well animated. I thought that visual gags were fun, like we were saying before. Like again, like the expressions, especially from like Leo and Squirtle, like the other animals, I'm just like, you know, I think they're fun. I think they work.
Yeah.
You know, I can't complain.
Yeah. Cool.
How about you?
I really liked how the thing that like caught the most attention to me was like that the whole movie is basically kind of zoomed in because we are face to face with Leo and Squirtle for most of it. So it's like I really like the attention to detail with like the scales and the reptilian skin and the bags under his eyes. Like I don't know. I think that like those like little details, like having it like shot from a POV of a lizard and on top of that like having everything be so crisp, I really enjoyed it. And I feel like it's going to be one of those movies that like with the technological advances of the next decade, it's not going to look outdated.
No, I agree on that. But actually you saying that, like the POV of Leo, like that specifically reminds me of that sequence where like he gets carried out for the first time.
Yes.
And like you see it from his perspective, but you also see his reflection from the glass, and it's like the chaos around him as they're like getting out of school and into the car. And that actually really was a really cool sequence.
It was a really cool sequence. I just feel like they really pulled out all their stops with like camera movements and I don't know. I think this was very well DP'd, if you will.
Obviously, a big part of what makes Leo so great is, like, the kind of message and the whole premise of, like, Leo realizing that he's approaching the end of his life, or so he thinks, is, like, I need to make the most of it. I need to break out of here and see the world and experience, like, the wild. And then he ends up on a completely, like, different track, which actually I think ends up being better for him.
Way better, like... He's a 65-year-old lizard, Tuatara, and...
No, he's older. He's 74.
74.
Because it's like they live to be 75.
Yes, that's what it was. Okay, so essentially Leo's like a 74-year-old lizard, a Tuatara. And so he thinks he's going to live to be 75. He's like, well, if this is it, like, I got to go out with style. But I don't know, just like the message of the movie being kind of like that, that yes, life does get more complicated the older you get. And then also getting caught up in the fear that, like, you didn't accomplish the things that you wanted to or the things that you thought that you should have. But on the flip side of that, like, what he actually learns is that the kids, even, like, at a younger age, they're very aware of this problem. They're very aware of, like, that, quote-unquote, end of the finish line anxieties. And so, like, while he's giving them advice and he thinks that he's helping them through something, they're actually helping him realize that.
Well, no, I mean, they're helping him realize, like, that he really does have a lot to give.
Oh, that he like, has a lot.
All those years that he thought he spent stuck in a classroom, not doing anything with his life, he was just, like, collecting all this information and all this knowledge. And it's just, like, sort of, like, how we feel about, like, you know, our, like, elders in that, like, you know, they feel like they've reached a point in their life where they have, like, nothing left to offer to the world. Yeah. And it's like, no.
It's the very opposite.
Like, they have experience. They have, you know, like, seeing other people, like, you know, interacting with other people, seeing other people. And, like, sort of, like, sometimes we get in these cycles that repeat themselves.
Yeah.
But that means we only have learned the lesson even more. And we've, like, tried different things. And we've, like, seen what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And, again, it's like, Leo sort of like doesn't realize the power and the influence and the meaningfulness that like his words have on these kids. And especially it's like at that age where it's like you really feel like you need guidance. And I feel like adults like think at that point you're sort of old enough to sort of like figure it out.
Right. But it's like fifth grade in particular is such a time where like you're always getting told like, oh, you have to learn from your mistakes, learn from your mistakes. But it's like sometimes you don't gotta make the mistakes to learn from it, you know? And even like the kids seeing all this, like the kids having insecurities and all these problems and like learning how to like accept each other and like work together. And like all of that happening because of shitty advice that Leo gave to them. The plot essentially kicks off because Leo is talking to all these kids when they keep taking him home for the weekend. But he's telling the kids not to tell each other that he's talking to them.
That was, like, the one sus thing about this movie for me.
Okay.
Because it's fine when, like, Leo, a cute elderly lizard, does it. But if he were, like, a human and this
right,
shit was happening.
It's a bad lesson. It's
like,
a bad lesson.
That would be all the red flags. Yeah. It's just, like, the sort of stranger danger, what they teach you not to do. Right.
If it
like,
was the teacher.
Yeah. If it's, yeah. like, don't tell anyone. I was like, oh, my God. This could have played out so differently.
But it's just Leo.
Yeah, but because it's an adorable lizard voiced by Adam Sandler, it's fine.
It's fine.
But yeah, but it's
harmless.
But like the whole thing is that, yeah, he like essentially like their relationship is built on a lie. So like while they've learned to trust Leo, they've also faced like this, like, I guess not like I wouldn't say the first great betrayal of their lives, but it's like a major betrayal that they've all collectively experienced.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah. Trauma bonding with each other. And like, it's funny because even then, like they continue because like part of like Leo's like motivation and his advice, like was just like helped the kids really like improve, not just in their personal lives, but in school too. Like they're like working hard because it's just like, oh, we want to take Leo home for the weekend.
Yeah.
So they're all like trying to outdo each other. So they can like get to take him home by doing really well in school. And like even after the falling out with Leo, they're like, no, we still want to do well, like we still want to try, we want to go on that class trip to like Discount Disney.
And also at that point, like they've all bonded over the fact that Leo lied to them too. So again, friendship in the face of adversity.
Yeah. Can we talk about how funny it was that all these kids just gave Leo their phone so he could they could call him?
I totally forgot about that part. You're so right.
Like, also very sus. Like, an old man, like, calling these kids up, like, after school, at night.
On the weekends.
Being like, hey, Jada, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad look.
Again, like, could only work in this movie with this premise.
Yeah, especially because the message of the movie is so sweet and so so learned, where it's like Leo thinks that he's teaching the kids, but really it's the kids teaching Leo.
Yeah.
So it's like, sure, whatever. It's funny that, like, Leo has 12 phones in his tank at all times so all the kids can call him and ask for advice.
To juggle, like,
literally, like, got two phones, one for the bitches, one for the hoes. But it's also, but like, I don't know, like, it's like the kids are teaching Leo and Leo's teaching them, like, or like their relationship together about like learning about,
yeah, like just inclusion, like how kids
and
are,
like loving yeah. yourself and confronting things that scare you and things that make you sad.
I like, it's like what he learns from them essentially is just that, like, you know, like that childish innocence that he gets back in touch yeah. with, and like seeing, like, again, like that these kids, like, despite how simple or like, you know, young and empty minded they may be, it's like, no, they no. contain multitudes yeah. and they have these deep feelings, which he gets uncomfortable yeah. with, but learns to accept. And like, you know, these like relationships and connections, which like he's never really been able to juggle before because he only had Squirtle, you know? Yeah. And it's like all of a sudden this multitude of connections and friendships and like, you know, something. And like, it sort of reminds me of just like the idea of like with teachers that it's like mm-hmm. eventually like classes move on and yeah. it's like who stays in touch, who doesn't
yeah,
like, and it's sort of like the feeling of like, okay, like you kind of worry that your teacher's gonna forget about you,
yeah,
or you as a teacher worry like, oh my god, like I had no effect on these on kids' these lives kids, like right. they're just gonna move on and like I'm gonna be a
yeah.
like blip in the rear view mirror,
right? What was her name again?
But I feel like in this one it was just like, this is the class to remember.
And on top of that, like, they all carry each other with them because they learned so many life lessons while together in this class that, like, sure, like maybe for like however for 74 years Leo was just watching kids learn, but because he was a part of their learning experience yes. this time, it's way more memorable.
Yeah, like, he actually participated this time.
Yeah, you can't tell me the name of those gerbils from your fourth grade class.
No. Unfortunately. Sorry,
you
guys.
Can only tell the traumatizing end, which you're not going to tell. But
it's better left unsaid. Let's just say that.
But, you know, all these kids are going to remember Leo. Leo also remembered Mrs. Malkin.
Yeah. That's right. That whole little twist there.
I know. It's just, it's like, I don't, it's like a cute lesson about empathy, forgiveness, but also the fact that we all do carry a little bit of each other yeah. everywhere we go.
It's a shared learning experience.
Yeah, definitely. Also, there's like this whole other layer where it comes to like
time is of the
doom.
doom. Very inventor core. We're out of time. We're out of time. Nobody loves
you. Wait, my heart just stopped. That was so cute.
It's like, what is it with these animated movies that are get so existential in terms of just like, you know, we don't have enough time. Like, we have to like, yeah. you know, we have to like live Soul? The life to the fullest. Yeah. Soul, inventor, arguably Boy and the Heron.
Boy and the Heron, definitely.
I mean, that's a lot of movies
that's
already.
A lot. That's half of our lineup so far.
But it's like the idea of like, time is of the essence. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to do something great or it's a bust.
It was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Which is, one, not true.
Yeah.
And two, he does do something great.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the thing that it's like.
And he finds out he's just middle-aged.
Yeah. That also helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the whole idea. It's like that we're like off like trying to like achieve this greatness and we have no idea collectively, like everyone,
yeah.
just how impactful you are to like your the lives of the people in your community, the people whose lives you touch.
Right.
So I just love that this theme shows up yet again. I'm a little worried about it. It worries me slightly, but I think it is nice, at least for like the kids. I want, like, seriously, Gen Alpha is going to be quite the generation.
Something else. I think that the movie handled it in a very fun way as well, where it's like from the very beginning, you're very much like, oh, this movie is about the carpe diem of it all. Mm. And like, that's really what's driving Leo's character and even Squirtle a little bit. I would say he's not unprivy to these anxieties.
Well, I feel like he's like sort of Leo's foil at first, being like
right.
the one to sort of like slap his ideas down, being like, that's dumb, like it's not worth yeah. it, like life is totally comfortable. And then by the end he sort of realizes yeah. nah, like Leo was right.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta so do something.
So like, we always talk about girl movies and like, oh, this movie's a girl movie, that movie's a girl movie, but like, we mentioned Book Club a few weeks ago, and so this like, but there's also like another genre of movie that like this, I think, falls very much into, where it's a senior citizen movie. So we have like bucket list, and we have a book club.
Anything with what's her name?
Movie with Morgan Freeman where they like rob a bank.
Diane Keaton. That's it.
Oh yes, Diane Keaton.
Or like any movie with Diane Keaton.
Like, even like,
or Jane Fonda.
Night at the Museum. Like the three old security guys are like, we're freaking tired of working. Like, we're gonna retire, rob the museum, and live in lavish until we're out in a few years. Like, those are such fun characters to have in these like kids movies, and I really like that Leo's kind of bringing it back. And we had it in Turning Red too, with the grandma and the aunties.
Yeah, it's just like, I love a good like connection between the generations. Yeah. Like,
and that's, yeah, that extends like, just beyond mom, daughter, which very happy to see a lot of it, but this is like a nice fresh palette. Yeah. For that. Wait, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Have you heard that people are referring to Leo as the Jiminy Cricket of Netflix?
Wait, actually, no.
Really?
What? Yeah, where did you see that?
On Reddit and on X.
That's so funny.
It's so funny. Do you think it's true? Because I don't.
I mean, we have to see the legacy. Like, I feel like...
The Leogacy?
Yeah, the Leogacy of Netflix. I mean, granted, like, Pinocchio was just, like, a one-off, but, like...
Yeah.
Disney made Jiminy Cricket and just like that song, like the brand. I really don't picture Netflix making Leo the brand.
Yeah.
That's so funny though. I mean, in a way I kind of see like some similar like themes at play. Yeah.
Well, also now that I'm thinking about it, like Jiminy Cricket isn't great at giving advice either.
No, he's literally like a vagrant who gets randomly assigned, but he's forced to like become responsible because of it.
He steps up to it, and so does Leo.
He's like indirectly like the actual protagonist of Pinocchio.
Oh, for sure.
But then Leo is like, yeah, he's like the true protagonist. I would say,
let's see. I think Netflix should take it and run with it.
From Jiminy Cricket to Leo of like wholesomeness.
You know what I want, actually? I want for me to log into Netflix on Earth Day and have Leo. If when I go click a movie, it's Leo's tongue that hits it from the corner of the screen. That's what I want.
That is so incredibly specific. You should go to Netflix's office right now.
I'm going to head over after I leave here.
Tell Mr. Sarandos. No, but actually that would be fun. But it's just like, again, like how if they plan, like it's just because Netflix not being an animated studio, really. I don't, like, I'm not saying about this, that would be really funny, but I'm saying, like, in general, like, back to the Jiminy Cricket question, yeah, I'm just like, it would be cute, actually, to see more animated movies coming to, like, Netflix.
Yeah, well, we had like Nimona and Leo, so it's like, give me more!
I think, like, they could build a nice brand with it. An interesting competitor for the other studios.
Truly.
As they've done with the rest of this industry.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you know what? Thank you, Netflix, for bringing us Leo. It's like, on that note, how would you rate it?
I'm going to rate it a 6.5.
Oh.
It's a little low. But again, the whole musical bit really caught me by surprise. And the movie is a little short.
You know what? That reminder just made me be like, okay, I'm giving it a 7. Like a solid 7.
What were you going to give it before I reminded you?
Maybe like a 7.5, 8.
Okay.
But I'm like, nope, it feels like a 7.
It's definitely worthy of more, I think. And on top of that, we become such hard critics the more episodes we do.
I feel like I was more of a hard ass at first, but lately I've been like, nope. Even
softer? Interesting. I feel like I was opposite. At first I was like 10, and now I'm like, but did it?
Does it deserve
anything above 5? But yeah, I just know so many people that loved it. Megan loved it.
I know. We watched it together. I wanted to like mention, and like we like uncynically had such a great time watching it.
Yeah.
Like we were just like laughing our asses off the whole time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Megan loved it. My little sister loved it because she's a big reptile person. We call her room the reptile room. Dr. Montgomery. And my grandma loved it too. She was like, this is the best movie. I'm going to read you her text message. She said, Leo is my favorite movie from the past few years.
Wow.
I know.
That is high praise.
This woman watches a lot of content. So yeah, high praise. So yeah, I think it's a great movie, but Me, for the purpose of this podcast, 6.5.
Yeah.
Do you have an alternate title?
I've been thinking about it. Uh-huh.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. The inventor. No.
I have a good one.
Ooh, you tell yours first.
Tanked.
Funny. That's good.
Tanked. I like tanked.
It's funny. Well, I'm kind of like stealing this from the trailer.
Okay.
But like that song, Take Me Home Tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that would be a cute title for this.
Take Me Home?
Yeah.
That is so good. And it sounds, that's really good.
Again, I stole it from the trailer. Right,
from the trailer.
And but like, it was a song that was not also.
I'm just picturing that, the billboard that was on Sunset, that was two billboards and had the tongue in between them.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Okay, yeah, there was this on Sunset. There was two billboards for Leo. And it was Leo on one side. The other side was just white. It had a fly on it. And his tongue was hanging through the middle.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was really cute. I'll see if I have a picture of it. I'm just picturing, and it just said Leo, but I'm picturing that, like, Take Me Home Tonight with, like, the giant-ass tongue across Sunset Boulevard. That would have been really funny.
That would have been a very memed.
Oh, for sure.
But, yeah, I just love that song. I started blasting it over, like, again and again. I was like, oh, my God, that's such a great use of this song for this trailer.
What age do you want to be to watch this movie?
I'd want to be a fifth grader. So, like, 10?
Yeah, I said I want to be in fourth grade.
Oh, so it's like a rite of passage movie, like going into fifth grade?
Looking up at someone.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. This is the first time I think we agree on an age. Hell yeah. Oh, who would you additionally cast in this movie? This one's fun. I want a Morgan Freeman.
Oh my God. As who?
Another class pet.
Like?
Or maybe some animal outside.
Like one of the like Everglades animals or?
No, like in the suburbia where like Leo's trying to like solicit someone to help him break out, like a bird or a squirrel, and he's like, hey, can you open that for me or something? I don't know.
Actually, it would have been funny to have like, is there a pet that talks? Like, I know there's like a dog that the helicopter kid has. Does he talk?
I think it's insinuated that he talks, and Leo goes, "Don't tell anyone" or something like that. I think maybe has a line. No, it definitely doesn't. We would have seen it in the IMDb.
You can correct us in the comments.
Yeah.
If like we missed it. But yeah, like maybe like having one of the pets like be voiced.
That would be really good.
I'm thinking of like Andy Samberg.
Oh, that really? Okay.
I feel like he and Adam Sandler are tight.
What part could you do away with?
You may call me a hater. Basically all the musical numbers except Don't Cry. Crying's for weaklings.
That's funny.
Literally all the musical numbers except for that one could go away and I'd be happy.
That's good.
You?
I feel like the movie wasn't long enough for me to delete anything. So I don't have an answer for this one.
That's fair.
You know what? And maybe I could deal away I would do away with the kindergartners. But like, I literally opened this episode saying the kindergartners were one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I'm like, so, I feel like you want to do away with the things you actually like didn't like.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I'd do away with. I'd do away with Mrs. Malkin having a crush on the gym teacher.
Oh my God. I was just like that. Yeah, I agree.
That delete, omit, get out.
I was just like, why are we trying to give this lady a redemption arc? She clearly does not deserve it. She learns nothing really.
Fucking asshole. Bitter asshole. Okay. And I guess it's time for our ultimate question.
Does it have the Frozen effect?
I think it does.
Actually, yeah, because the amount of times I've like just had the urge to rewatch it. And it's just sometimes as big as time, but like, the fact that I have the desire to just rewatch it, or I'll like go back and like just like see certain parts that I really like just for a laugh.
Well, yeah. The thing is, like, if I was like 9, 10, like we just said that we wanted to be for this movie, I would constantly be rewatching it just to like listen to the music and like.
Don't cry,
crying's for weaklings. But yeah, and I guess that's the end of our episode. Thank you so much for listening to our episode on Leo.
Don't forget to check out our other episodes. We had a cool Oscar series that we just finished to celebrate all the Oscar-nominated movies from this year.
We're really excited about all the movies that have been coming out, animated movies that have been coming out. So
keep tuning in. We're going to be
in for that.
Churning out a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Victoria, what was your ideal classroom pet?
Ideal classroom pet. Maybe one that calls kids garden hoses and tells them not to cry.
You mean Squirtle?
Squirtle. Squirtle's my ideal garden classroom pet. What about you? Definitely not a rodent, I see.
No gerbils. I'm like thinking maybe a bunny. I like the bunnies. They were funny.
That's funny.
But I feel like if they... that's funny. Funny bunny.